God's grace is yours. The peace that comes from God is yours. And it's all through the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus Christ, dear fellow redeemed. The 18-year-old girl had made up her mind, and there was nothing mom could do to stop her. She was in love. And mom prayed and mom pleaded, but she could not prevent her daughter from moving in with him. And that didn't make it a good idea. Mom knew that he couldn't love her like she did. And what made matters worse, this guy had no job, no car, and no manners. He was bad news. So mom did what loving moms can do. She let her daughter experience the consequences of that decision. And it hurt. If you want to live in his house, I can't lock you in ours, but you're going to eat whatever food he can provide. If you want to move over there, I can't chain you to the couch, but you'll see how he deals with your nightmares. It hurt. It hurt mom and it hurt daughter. But mom loved her too much to bail her out. It's no mystery why preachers like talking about moms, not just on Mother's Day, because so often the passionate, fiery love of a mom is a glimpse into the heart of God himself. That God will do anything for his children, even if it hurts for a while, just like moms. And that's what happened in the story we're going to read today from 1 Kings chapter 18. In our story today, God gets all fired up like a mom who's really passionate, and he lets his people experience the consequences of their decision. It all went wrong when King Ahab, the king of Israel, shacked up with a no-good girl named Jezebel. And those two took idol worship in Israel. The worship of false gods took it to new heights. And God did what a loving God can do. He let his people experience the consequences of that decision. And it hurt. You want to shack up with Baal, the god of rain and reproduction? I can't stop you. I'm not going to squash you with my finger, but we'll see how much rain Baal can provide. Not a drop. God's prophet Elijah had said, he'd predicted, for the next few years, there's going to be no rain and no dew except at my word. King Ahab was not a fan. Here's what King Ahab said. When he saw Elijah, he said to him, "Is that you, you troubler of Israel?" "I have not made trouble for Israel," Elijah replied, "but you and your father's family have. You have abandoned the Lord's commands and have followed the Baals." So Elijah proposes a way to solve this dilemma. He says, "Let's have a showdown. One day only, coming to Mount Carmel, the Lord versus Baal. Two gods enter, one God wins. Be there." And the people were there. Ahab gathered up the people and the 450 prophets of Baal. They all assembled in the north on Mount Carmel. And that's where the showdown happened. Elijah raised his voice. "How long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. If Baal is God, follow him." The people said nothing. They kicked the dirt, maybe, avoid Elijah's gaze. Were they intimidated by the king? Or were they filled with doubt because these hundreds of religious experts thought that Baal was God? I don't know what was going on in their minds when they said nothing. But I know that God got pretty fired up about it. And so Elijah insists that God is the only the Lord is the only God, just like God has always insisted that he's the only God. That's what the Lord did to Moses, right? He gave him the first commandment, you shall have no other gods. That's what God's doing here in the Elijah story. And even Jesus insisted that there's only one true God. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Obedience is not the way to God. And your family is not what's truly most important. And experiences are not what makes for a full life. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. When you hear that, do you avoid Jesus' gaze? Kick the dirt a little bit? I don't know, Jesus, that sounds pretty closed-minded. There's hundreds of religious experts that would say there's lots of other ways to God, and there's hundreds of psychologists who'd say there's other ways to fulfill yourself. I don't know, Jesus. I don't know the doubts that are in your heart. I don't know the problems that pop up in your week, but I know the doubts in mine. So God wants you to see the solution that he gave to Elijah. Elijah, he proposes on that showdown exactly how things will go. Let's do a controlled experiment about who the true God is, what the real way to happiness is. Let's do a controlled experiment where everything stays the same except for one variable. Here's what Elijah proposed. Get two bulls. Let Baal's prophets choose one for themselves and let them cut it into pieces and put it on the wood, but not set fire to it. I will prepare the other bull and put it on the wood, but not set fire to it. Then you call on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of the Lord. The God who answers by fire, he is God. Prophets of Baal go first. They take their bull. They prepare it just right. Baal, answer us. Baal, answer us. So they dance around like was their worship custom. Baal, answer us. 450 of them dancing around. Baal, answer us. This goes on for 6 hours. Nothing. And then Elijah does something kind of strange. He taunts them. He taunts these prophets in that awkward silence, not to make them feel bad and not to teach us that we should make fun of people who worship other gods, but he does it to highlight the infinite difference between Baal and the Lord. He says, perhaps he can't hear you. The Lord your God. His ears are always attentive to your cries. Well, perhaps he's sleeping and you have to wake him up. Not the Lord your God who watches over Israel. He neither slumbers nor sleeps. Maybe he's traveling and he's off on a far journey. But the Lord your God goes with you wherever you go. You see, Elijah wants to make it very clear that Baal, he cannot love you like the Lord can. The trouble in Israel came from chasing a God who couldn't love them. So here's a personal question for you. How much trouble in your life comes from chasing a God who cannot love you like the Lord can? Maybe you just want people to like you. You want them to respect you. You want them to think you're funny or good-looking or smart. And those are all wonderful blessings, but you could spend a lifetime serving other people's opinions as your God. You could dance around to entertain people or dance around so you don't step on their toes, just like the prophets of Baal. And guess what? Other people's opinions, they will never be able to love you like the Lord can. And so Baal's prophets work harder to serve their unfulfilling God. They slash themselves with swords and spears. They're desperate for their God's attention. Baal, answer us. Nothing. The Bible's actually really clear about the second reason why nothing happened when these devout worshipers prayed for hours. This is from the prophet Jeremiah. The customs of the peoples are worthless. They cut a tree out of the forest, and a craftsman shapes it with his chisel. They adorn it with silver and gold. They fasten it with a hammer and nails so it will not totter. Like a scarecrow in a melon patch, their idols cannot speak. They must be carried. They cannot walk. Do not fear them. They can do no harm, nor can they do any good. You see, it's not just that Baal doesn't love these people. It's that he's not real. He can do nothing for them, neither harm nor good. And I wonder how many hours I have wasted in my life pinning my hopes on something that can do me no harm or no good, on a figment of my imagination. Like, if you think that the good life is coming in the next stage of your life, oh, my life will feel better. I'll have a whole life after graduation, or after I get married, or after I have kids, or after I get a different job, or after the kids are gone. How many times have you been disappointed by that? Your passion is real, but those hopes have no power to fill you up. Or if you think that your life is going to be all about getting your body healthy or getting more money or having a clear schedule so you're not so busy, those things, they have no power to fill you up. That's when the words of Jesus smack you in the face, like a wake-up call from a nightmare wish dream. When Jesus says, you know that stuff you've been chasing? That's not the way. I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm what life has always been all about. Imagine a kid doing this. Imagine a kid who goes to McDonald's, loves the Happy Meal, loves the workers. They're so friendly and they smile when they drop off his food, loves the play place. And so marches up to mom and dad and proudly announces, parents, this is my new home. And these are my new family. Are mom and dad going to be mad? Well, maybe a little, but also worried, right? For a couple of reasons. Number one, these people at McDonald's will not care about you like we can care about you. And number two, it's just not true. These people aren't your family. This isn't your house. It's just not true. And for those same two reasons, the Lord gets really fired up when people worship Baal or money or their family or anything that doesn't care about them as much as the Lord and that isn't truly God. That's why God provides this awesome answer full of love and full of power to help us refocus on the Lord who truly is God. Elijah said this, come here. And he builds an altar, but he doesn't put fire on it. He puts the wood on there, but he doesn't put fire. He digs a trench around it, but he doesn't put any fire. He puts a bull on there, but no fire. He adds water to it, the opposite of fire. And then he prays. And at this point, the other guys wailed to Baal for 6 hours. Not Elijah. Time this. See how long Elijah's worship takes. Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are God in Israel and that I am your servant and have done all these things at your command. Answer me, Lord, answer me so these people will know that you, Lord, are God and that you are turning their hearts back again. 25 seconds. Why did it take Elijah 25 seconds to pray rather than 6 hours? Because he knew that the power to change his life did not come from how much he sacrificed or how much he was willing to do, or how long he could pray or read his Bible. He knew that all the power came from the Lord who loved him already and who was already paying attention to him. He didn't need to wake the Lord up. The Lord God was already there with him. And because the Lord is God, and because he truly is powerful and loving and majestic, then immediately three miracles happen. Number one, fire from the Lord fell and burned up the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, and the soil, and also licked up the water in the trench. Fire that can burn water and stones. That's not a magic trick. That's a miracle. And it's a miracle of grace where God makes himself known that he is the Lord in Israel and in our lives. But that miracle, burning up stones, that doesn't do a whole lot for us personally. That's why God did the second miracle, even greater. When all the people saw this, they fell prostrate and cried, "The Lord, he is the true God. The Lord, he is the true God." Think about what just happened, right? God took a crowd of stone-cold hearts that were stuck in a groupthink. They couldn't make up their mind about what was right. And in an instant, he changed their hearts. That's a miracle of grace. It's a miracle of grace that you yourself have experienced when the Holy Spirit called you by the gospel. When the word of the Lord finds a home in your heart and it wakes you up, turns your stone-cold heart into a trusting heart. That's a miracle. And boy, did those hearts turn. They turned so much that as everybody's chanting, "The Lord, he is God, the Lord, he is God," Elijah's voice rises above the din. "Seize the prophets of Baal. Don't let anyone get away." These hearts that in the morning were, I don't know, afraid of King Ahab or maybe intimidated by these prophets, now they will do anything for the Lord. Because he's the real God. They will do anything for the Lord, even obey this commandment from Deuteronomy. If wicked men have led the people astray, saying, "Let us go and worship other gods, gods you have not known," then you must inquire and investigate it thoroughly. And if it is true, and it has been proven that this detestable thing has been done among you, you must certainly put to the sword all who live in that town. That's exactly what God's people did. In the face of political punishment or in the face of ridicule, they kept God's command because he had done a miracle in their hearts. Then, and only then, did God bring the third miracle. As the prophets of Baal, their bodies lie in a pile in a valley, and there's only one prophet left, Elijah, praying to the true God. Then and only then did God send rain. God sent a rain on these people for the first time, and the sky grew dark. These people went home singing in the rain, "The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God." They needed to know that Baal did not cause a rainstorm, so that the next time there was a drought, they knew who to pray to. You and I, we need to know that I am not the way, and you are not the arbiter of truth. And what people say around us, that's not what life is all about. We need to know that Jesus is the way and the truth and the life, so we know who to turn to when life gets crazy. We need to know who to turn to because only Jesus can make a promise like this. "My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." Only God, the real God, can make a promise like that. A mom cannot stop her daughter from shacking up with a no-good guy. But from experience, that young lady learned who loved her best. And before long, she was back living in her father's house in one of his many rooms. Praise God for that. the Lord your God loves you the best. And the Lord your God has a fabulous future in store for you in heaven, and he has a full life in store for you here on earth. So do not let your hearts be troubled. Instead, put all your trust in the true Lord, Jesus, who is the way and the truth and the life. Amen.